Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Run Dot Down, playoffs edition. Knicks lose tonight, unfortunately. Just a very controversial game, very physical game. And I think it started off early. I think we saw two flagrants and a tech in the first quarter. And we saw Embiid probably make the dirtiest play I've seen in a minute, where he grabs Mr. Robinson by the ankles and he pulls him down. And it was only deemed a flagrant one, which was skeptical at best, given the fact that he legitimately pulled him down. I don't know how that's not a flagrant two, but regardless, he stays in the game. And then he ends up scoring 50 on 19 shots with 21 free throws, 5 of 7 from 3. In general, the Sixers hit 15 threes. Campaign gave them a really big spark. He hit 3 threes in the first half. Yeah, it was just... That was kind of the game. That was kind of the one where you're like, that makes no fucking sense. Campaign giving them a spark kind of changed the game. And the Knicks did really have a counter after the third quarter.
Yeah. It was just, you could tell from the beginning, like, I didn't really expect a complete rough show. I kind of knew that going into Philly with the Sixers down 2-0, we were going to get a little bit of bullshit. I didn't know it was going to be to this extent. I mean, Embiid outshot the Knicks from the free throw line by himself. As a team, the Sixers shot 37 free throws. The Knicks shot 19. 33 free throws to 19. But that's not to say that the refs completely did the Knicks in. Definitely didn't fucking help, that's for sure. But the hot streak in the third quarter, I think, is what really ended up putting the Knicks in the dirt for this game, despite them making a valiant effort to scrap back as much as they could.
Yeah. I mean, by all intents and purposes, the Knicks played really well offensively. They shot 49% from the field, 43% from three. A little shaky at the line, but they had enough offense to win the game. It was just a matter of their defense completely evaporating in the third quarter. And to their credit, in the fourth quarter, they made it kind of interesting. But then every time they would start to build more momentum.
Christ, man.
And B would hit a three or fucking Kyle Lowry would do something. And then it kind of just took away all their momentum. So yeah, it was not the best of games. I think they dealt with foul trouble with their bigs all night. Yeah, but I mean, I think the encouraging signs are OG gave you something offensively, which was good to see. He had 17 points, hit three threes. Obviously, Jalen finding himself 39 and 13, which that was huge.
Yeah, on what felt like a bad game. Like, I wasn't watching him tonight and viewing it like, holy shit, this is a masterful performance. And then you look up and he's just 39 and 13.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he like got it going really well in the third quarter, but the problem is the Sixers also had it going well in the third quarter, so it kind of just it was muted.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if there's a game like the wasted 40 points is something in itself, but like if all tonight was Philly's best game of the series and like probably one of the hottest shooting performances from them of the year. I mean, they shot 48% from three, and like if tonight was Jalen finds himself night and we lose a close tough game to the refs and Philly and their bullshit hot shooting, I think we'll be better off in the long run, because Philly doesn't want to see Jalen actually play well.
Yeah. Honestly, it just Jalen getting going, Josh Hart still giving you contributions, especially with his shooting. He went 4 of 8 from three again. So I think he's the first Knick to have three straight games of four made threes, which is hilarious that it was Josh Hart of all people.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, it was just the Knicks had enough offense tonight, especially with Hartenstein. Hartenstein gave them 14 points. It was just their defense in that third quarter. So hopefully the Knicks are able to clean that up and they're able to go back to New York up 3-1.
Yeah.
I really just can't get over that third quarter, man, because it was just every jumper would just go in.
It's just like there was at some point there's just nothing the Knicks could do. Like Jalen and I Hart were getting into Embiid every single time he was on the 3-point line. He just would not miss a fucking shot. Like, there's a certain point where it's a superstar heater and he's getting the whistle he is, and that's just the game. Like, no matter how well the Knicks play, if you're getting an Embiid heater and a generational Embiid whistle in one game, and the team as a whole shoots 48% from three, and out rebounds you, like, we did a lot of things tonight positively, but also it's just like you can't really overcome whatever the fuck that Embiid game was.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not to take away from his performance at all. I thought he was awesome. He's a fucking loser for the Mitch play, but the dude had a fucking performance, man. And I mean, this is probably the best they're going to get from him. It's like the one good second half he's had so far this series. And playing 40 plus minutes a night is probably not going to help the knee. So, like you said, Tyrese, Knicks just need to take advantage, roll with this punch, and just come back hungry for game four. Because going back, if we go back to New York up 3-1, I think we win 5.
Yeah. And hopefully we don't get a bullshit campaign game. I really just kind of felt like campaign going off the way he did kind of took the wind out of their sails. And they really didn't have like a way to kind of build any more momentum.
Yeah. And it wasn't just campaign either. It was like Tobias started hitting contested threes. Batum hit a couple. Lowry, obviously. Kelly Oubre. Like, I just can't help but feel anything but frustration tonight, because it's like the game just got taken out of the hands of the players. And it just wasn't that enjoyable to watch, to be honest.
I'm sorry. I just, like, you can't do that to a player and not get ejected. And the only reason why he didn't get ejected is because I think the refs didn't want to dictate the game because of what Nick Nurse and them did all the last 2 days. So it just kind of feels like in that moment when you're supposed to be a referee and you're supposed to kind of like set the law, like, yeah, you eject him. But, like, I'm sorry, that there's no way that's a flagrant one, man. There's no way that's a flagrant one.
And it's not like, I mean, there are some flagrant twos that are questionable, right? Like 50-50. That was one of the most obvious ejections I've ever seen. Like, not only the fact that it's scary because it's Mitch and he's always hurt, but like, dude was on the ground and fucking pulled him over him. And it's the second time this happened to Mitch too. If you remember, I think it was last year against Miami. When Bam was out of bounds on the ground, he grabbed Mitch's ankle to stop him from running up court. It's just like the reffing has got to fucking figure itself out. And I don't know if it will, but you can't let a player standing in the league take away from the fact that you have to do your job as a referee. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the takeaway from this is that they have to shoot 50% for three and get a huge ass free throw disparity, and they only won by 11?
They won by their free throw discrepancy. Their free throw advantage.
Yeah, they made 15 more free throws than the Knicks, and they made two more threes. It was the free throws.
Yeah. Here we get to some comments. Oh, I say that like I can.
I got you.
Yeah.
Chris Bernard, what can you do if A, you aren't allowed to get up into a guy, B, the other team doesn't miss all quarter, C, can't get to the free throw line, and D, the ref don't eject someone for a blatant attempt to injure? Yeah, I mean, that kind of just explains the story. It was you can't get in and beat space, and they gave him 21 free throws. I mean, I guess they could justify it by saying, well, we gave Brunson 12. I mean, that's fine. Brunson got 12, but it's also when you're watching guys like Josh Hart not get any free throws.
Yeah.
That's insane, given the fact that he does nothing but drive to the rim.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's like one of the more frustrating things about, like, even the series at large is like, we've heard nothing but complaining about the whistle, and people are going to point to free throw numbers. But most of, at least my complaints, come in the non-shooting fouls, because every single time, or whoever is the primary playmaker for the Knicks on any given possession, is just being fucking hounded by Philly, and they're just allowed to get away with whatever bullshit they want. Grabbing, holding, pushing, fucking, I don't know, man. Like, it's just, it's just really frustrating. And I'm trying not to let it take away from Philly's shooting night, but I just don't understand how people can think that this this series has a Knicks ref advantage in any sense.
Yeah, it just, when that happened, it kind of just puts everything in perspective, because you're just like, there's no fucking way he should have been able to finish that game.
Yeah.
So, H. Bouchard, honestly, the team needs to adjust to how limited Embiid is. They did so on offense and stop treating like a DPOY rim protector. Defensively, they got to make him put it on the floor. I mean, if he's just able to rip through and take threes like that, he doesn't need to put it on the floor. And he's been great at the mid-range. So, he's taking the shots that he needs to take, and he's excelling on jumpers. I think the Sixers as a whole were like just killing us on jumpers. So it's not much you could do to make him put it on the floor when he's the biggest player on the court. And then he also has the whistle of Baphomet.
Yeah, I mean, like, defensively, making him put it on the floor, like you were saying, it's not like he's not getting calls, and also he's making every single fucking shot he takes. So it's like, at least to me, I'd much rather see the Knicks go to a place where they can make everybody but Embiid beat them, right? Like, let Embiid get his fucking, because this is what Tibbs' game plans against elite centers usually do. The centers get their numbers, everyone else has an off night, and the Knicks win. We need to figure out some way to get, in my opinion, Deuce needs to come into the game way earlier, and we need to leave OG as a roamer, have him guard Tobias or somebody that's not Maxi, because we're just not optimizing his skills as a defender when he's guarding probably the fastest player in the NBA and one who has been very good this year.
Yeah. Jordan Bubb, free throws in game 3, 21, Joel Embiid, 19, Knicks, entire Knicks team. The Knicks had 54 points in the paint, the Sixers had 38. Yeah, it was just like, they killed us with jumpers, but it's also like, when you're getting points in the paint, it kind of makes sense for there to be more foul calls, but apparently that does not compute when it comes to the Knicks. I do want to talk about Precious. I thought he actually played decently in his minutes, especially that stretch of like the first half
when he came in and he like switched on Embiid and he got a block on Maxey. There's a chance that he's getting rotation minutes in this series, given the fact that Mitch might not be able to go for game four. I don't hate it. I think he can like hold up well enough. I do wonder about like his ability to like rebound compared to Mitch, because he's a good rebounder, but he doesn't have the size to really like deal with Embiid. So it is worrying, but the defense I feel like was solid.
Agreed. I think if or when Precious plays again this series, it's going to have to be a concentrated effort to get on the glass. Not that it already isn't. I think our guards especially do a really good job on the glass, but just like making those extra efforts. And we just got to help Precious out, because despite Embiid playing on one leg, the dude is still a fucking monster. Like, obviously, he just scored 50 points tonight. And he doesn't look all that limited by it, at least not as much as I thought he would after watching the Miami game. But to your point, I think Precious, like, he could give us a different look in this series, because one, I think it allows the versatility of the lineups that he's in. There's a lot of opportunity for versatility there, at least on defense. A lot of switchability, especially if you play OG and Precious together, which I'm assuming will be one of the main pairings we see in Precious's minutes if he gets more. And maybe even have OG guard Embiid for some possessions. I don't know, man. You just got to fix or switch something up. And I do agree with Ace's earlier comments that we have to get Embiid moving, but Nurse has a great game plan to hide him on defense. And I think we have to get a tiny bit more creative in the off-ball movement to make sure Embiid is actually moving.
I just don't think he's going to move. I feel like they trust their wings on defense, and it's like it hasn't hurt them yet. And the Knicks, like, they're still going to sag off Josh Hart, and he's been hitting his threes, but it's also like they're not going to treat him as if he has gravity, even though he's been making them pay. It's hard. I mean, Josh Hart just has to keep punishing them.
Yeah. I mean, Embiid is what they're basically doing is on every big, because we haven't been running a lot of guard screens this series. On every Jaylen big pick and roll, Embiid switches to Josh's man, and whatever wing guarding Josh just comes up to the screener, and they just double Jaylen off that, and Embiid gets to sit in the paint. So we just have to, I don't know. They're doing a really good job of hiding Embiid's injury, and I just think that one, we have to make our open shots. Like, I know that's a given, but in a series where Philly's defense is giving us a little bit more problems than at least I anticipated, making the open shots is very necessary. Clean up the turnovers. We had a couple sloppy ones again today. And everything feels like it just has to be on point. Like, despite us being in control and me still feeling pretty confident in the series, any slip up could easily mean 2-2 going back to New York, and that's not something I would want to see.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't see it. Nick Nurse on whether Joel Embiid's flagrant one foul on Mitch Robinson.
I didn't even want to address this guy.
Yeah. Like, that's like, it's very clear what he was trying to do the last game. He fucking cried about it, and then the refs kind of like gave him a favor, and I think they gave the Sixers a favor, and it's like,
I think going into the game, you kind of understood that the whistle probably wouldn't be the Knicks' favor, home court, the controversy of game two. But also, like, you can't say stuff like that, man. Especially to, like, somebody who got injured. That isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hope Mitch is okay, but that is kind of shitty.
That's just weird energy after the fucking parade of crying they did for the last however many days leading up until tonight, and just for the whole series at large. It's just weird energy coming from that franchise.
Yeah, it comes from the top. It comes from Maury.
Yeah, so. I mean, Schwinn had his Maury rant on the last one.
Thibodeau on the flagrant one on Joel Embiid. Which one? The one they called or the one that they didn't call? The one they called. Just want to make sure we have clarity on that.
I mean, credit to him. He kind of leveraged the fact that he does have a star whistle, and he got away with things that normal players wouldn't get away with. But it's also, if you are going to talk about how integrity is important and how, you know, fouls are fouls, then call it fair. But again, like you kind of just saw, like the first quarter, he gets Hartenstein, he gets Mitch twice. Those aren't basketball plays. He was attempting to hurt them.
Yeah, I just don't really have much more to say about Embiid tonight. Like, it was just a fucking joke. I'm sorry. I know that he got his 50, and I know that he made a bunch of tough shots, but we just weren't allowed to defend him at a point.
Yeah. I also want to talk about Dante, honestly.
Yeah, weird game for him.
He hasn't been shooting a lot of threes this series.
It's very odd.
I think they are crowding him. Mm-hmm. But it's weird because, like, he took, what, 3 today. He took 8 the game beforehand, and then he took 5. And it's like, you figure he would be taking 8 every game.
Yeah.
The fact that he's only taking like 3 and he's trying to drive. And granted, his drives have been okay. Like, he finished 2 of 4 from 2. But it's also like, you have to be able to do more. And you have to be able to take your threes. And I think they've been rushing him a bit. But
yeah, I think he's just got to stay true. I like the fact that he's taking the twos, like you said. He has to take at a certain point what the defense is giving him. But I also think that he needs to do a better job of not settling for the twos per se, and using those drive opportunities to kick and relocate, because that's where he's going to get his best shots off. If he's making the defense, because he, on a lot of his drives today, he's beating the closeout and he's creating advantages for the offense. So if he makes a kick to the corner or to the top of the key or the wing and he relocates, that's a wide open three for him. And I do think the Knicks as a whole have to get a little more creative with the off-ball stuff. We started seeing it a bit today. But doing, like, with OG, I think he definitely had a couple good shots off of off-ball movement. But I just think we need to get our good shooters going. Jalen, we saw, hey, I think he shot 4 of 9 from 3 today.
3 of 7.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take 3 of 7 from 3. Right, like,
yeah,
but Dante's got to get his volume up because we know how dangerous he can be as a shooter. And even if he goes, like, if he has a couple threes in a quarter, they're going to start paying so much more attention to him on the perimeter, and crowding him even more than they already are. And it's just going to create more advantages for the offense.
Yeah, I want to see him get him up. I want to see. Well, I think we saw a lot of off-ball stuff today, and I think we saw a lot of creativity offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Tibbs really tried to get Brunson going from various areas on the court instead of just from the left side. Yeah. I thought there was an emphasis on OG shooting. So, like, yeah, like, I think the offense was fine.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not surprised at that. Woj tweet, Embiid has been dealing with Bell's palsy for the last week. Which explains the face and eye things.
I think that's nerve damage, right?
Yes. And it causes one, if I'm remembering correctly, one side of the face to not be able to react.
Oh. Yeah, it seems like it.
Oh, Bogey didn't play the second half? Oh, he did.
A little bit.
He was pretty bad in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't know. The pin block he had was pretty cool. I just think, like, I mean, I'll address Neil's comment without bringing it up. My question to y'all, how can they combat the switches PNR better? How hard is it going to be without Mitch, who we desperately need back? Well, I think it starts with matchups. right? Like I said earlier, I think we have to get Deuce back in the game early. Like, and at the very least, maybe have Dante on Maxi, because OG, despite him being the otherworldly defender that he is, he just doesn't really have the quickness to keep up with Maxi. And like I also mentioned earlier, it's just not a good way to optimize his defensive ability. He's much better as a roamer that can take advantage of traps, and he can help on mismatches, and he can get in passing lanes, because I think that's the one thing we're really not seeing from him this series. When he's been able to be a roamer, when he gets switched off Maxi, we're seeing the steals and the dunks. But other than that, his defensive impact is being very mitigated by him playing point of attack defense on Maxi, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would like to see him roam, and he hasn't been able to do that across the three games so far. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of muted his defensive effort. I don't think Deuce would ever start, but I wouldn't hate it, because I mean, like, if Dante's gonna do that, I would agree. Just like pull him quicker and get Deuce in there, because you need Deuce's.
You just need Deuce.
Yeah, I think you just need Deuce. It's hard. Like, you see Maxi having to do so much more work in order to score, and he didn't have like the best shooting game tonight. But I still feel like getting Maxi struggling is something that they need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw, like, Deuce gives every guard hell. He gives everybody hell. But he shuts down quick guards. Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland in the playoffs last year. Draft stuff. And Maxi, in the times we've seen Deuce matched up with him in the regular season this year. So, I mean, Tibbs definitely has a decision to make. I think, like you said, Tyrese, if Dante's going to continue to be a little hesitant to fire away from three, and we know Deuce definitely isn't. Deuce's defense got it. We got to get his defense in there earlier. And it's not like he's not doing anything offensively either, right? He's hitting his threes. He's being aggressive, getting into the paint. And despite it being ugly at times, really the only way he's going to progress in that area, especially in this is the best way to do it in the playoffs, is just get reps and play against tough competition. And he's rising the challenge. So
yeah,
get him his minutes, man. We really need his defense this series, because all of what Maxi's doing is coming off of Embiid. And if we shut off Embiid's outlets, I think we'll win the series handedly.
Yeah, I agree.
See, DDV can be a lot more selfish with a shot, like when he was the first off the first stretch this season. Yeah, I do agree.
He could definitely be more selfish, just taking deeper shots, being more aggressive with his drives, getting to his floater. And I also think he can shoot a little deeper.
There's options for him. There's avenues for him. So,
yeah. I mean, I do wonder if some of Dante's hesitancy, at least tonight, was because of the game plan being more geared towards getting Jaylen going early. If it happens again in game four, I'll hold my tongue. But I agree overall that he just has to be confident. He's way too good of a shooter to shrink in the lights now.
Yeah.
Not saying that he is, but like, just keep the confidence up.
Right. Well, honestly, game four is, I believe, Sunday?
Yes, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Okay, so we have the early game.
Massey.
Will be interesting to see how the Knicks come out. I like the fact that they won the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And I do like the fact that they won the first half. It really just that third quarter that kind of...
Yeah.
It got all away from them, but I do think they should feel pretty confident.
I do think that Precious will be able to give them minutes, especially against Paul Reed. And as long as they manage to limit fouls and to crowd them from the three-point line, I think the Knicks will be able to win the series. Or at least be able to get game four.
Agreed. I think, like, Maxey today had... Maxey had not a great game. He had 25 on 9 of 21 from the field. But, like I said a couple minutes ago, I really just think, like, shut off Embiid's outlets, make him work hard for his points, and we'll have a good series. I don't really... One last point I wanted to make. I don't love the whole... I don't love doubling Embiid, honestly. I think we have guys who are good enough defenders to hold their own against Embiid, and especially this hampered version of Embiid. And I think we're very much shooting ourselves in the foot when we're helping off of shooters, because despite Philly's roster not shooting well for a while, a lot of those guys are good, consistent shooters and have been for their careers. So I wouldn't really suggest helping off of them too much. I think just Tibbs has got to trust the centers to stay home, and he's got to be a little bit more careful with it now. But if he's going to send doubles, he's got to pick the spots. Like, don't help from the strong side where Embiid's looking type thing, because there have definitely been a couple weird doubles from guys this series so far.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I think if we limit Embiid's outlets and make him work hard, I think we're in for a good series. I haven't really lost a lot of confidence because it's a nice game. It's more of a frustration thing than anything.
All right. Anyway, that'll be it for us. Thank you guys for coming out. Thank you guys for all the support. And we'll see you after game four.
Later.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.